Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Verbal Shenanigans Podcast, episode 165. That's a lot of this. That's a lot of me and a lot of Berlu. But we are very happy to be back. It's a beautiful day to be alive. We got a great podcast for you, but I want to get to the sponsors real quick before we begin. One of those sponsors happens to be Adirondack Brewery, located in Lake George, New York. One of my favorite places to visit, right there on Canada Street in Lake George. Great for the ambiance, great for the fall foliage and beer and food. And go check them out, especially this weekend if you are interested in maybe running a 5K. The ADK 5K takes place this Saturday, September 16th at the Adirondack Brewery. Enjoy scenic early fall views of Lake George. Enjoy live music, food, beer, and more at the finish line party back at the brewery after the run. There are a few spots open, so go register for that. And also, they got their Oktoberfest coming up, which hopefully I'll be at October 14th. So that's the Adirondack Brewery located in Lake George, New York. We also have Demented Brewing, located in here in Middlesex, New Jersey, right off of Route 287 there. Just one of the coolest places to visit in New Jersey. They got 16 rotating taps, always something delicious. They got barrel programs, sour programs, different releases almost every Sunday. They just released Moon Reaper, their Harvest Brown Ale, and this Sunday they'll be releasing Samayan, their Imperial Pumpkin Ale on draft, and a barrel-aged variant in bottles. So go check out Demented Brewing in Middlesex, New Jersey, and give them some love on Facebook and Instagram. That is Demented Brewing. We also have another brewery on the podcast that sponsors us, and that is Manskirt Brewing, located in Hackettstown. So if you're not down by Demented, you're up northwest, go visit Manskirt Brewing. They got their Oktoberfest coming up in town all weekend, September 29th, 30th, and October 1st. They have their Oktoberfest lager. They have a Rausch beer. They have a beer called Badunkle Dunk, which is a dark wheat, and Germaniacal on tap. They also have the Big Brew Morristown coming on up on October 7th. Also on that date, they're going to be doing an autumn harvest dinner at Genesis Farm in Blairstown on October 7th. Tickets are available at Eventbrite. So go check out Manskirt Brewing. Susan Robb is a woman that helps out this show quite frequently. She gets us a lot of guests like Paul Templer and Coach Jim Johnson and Bob Rathbun, just to name a few. She's out of actually Toronto, Canada, lives out her mission to inspire others. Susan is a client partner for Center for Leadership Studies, original home of situational leadership. COS is deployed in over 70% of top Fortune 500 companies. Susan also has a business as a speaker agent. Many of those speakers have been on our show, like I was saying. She can set up professional development, inspirational speakers to come do workshops. So go check out Susan Robb, R-O-B-B, on LinkedIn. And make sure you check her out and send you her on Verbal Shenanigans. All right. Before we get out of here and get on to the show, Trivia Revolution, which is fueled by Craft Beer, I host every week at Tap House 15 on Wednesdays. Win prizes to craft beer bars and other breweries. That is Trivia Revolution, fueled by craft beer. All right, we got a great show for you today. On the show, we have a man by the name of Rick Woodbury. Okay, now Rick is helping designing like one-seater future commuter cars that are super fast, super safe, and he's trying to solve the traffic problem not only in California but all around the world. Just very interesting. We also hear about Mike Berlu and his barbecue and a whole bunch of other fun things. So with that, enjoy the podcast.
Hey, it's Matt Pinfield, and you're listening to Scott and Mike on Verbal Shenanigans. And we've got some serious shenanigans going on here.
But our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
About that time, Scotty.
Oh, yeah.
Get the juices flowing.
Oh, they're flowing.
Oh, it's shenanigans time, Scotty.
They're flowing, Mike.
I'm ready to go.
I don't know what's creepier.
me saying my juices are flowing, or are you just like being the hype man, like, yeah, get them flowing.
My juices are flowing. Yeah, Scott, get in there. Get those shenanigans all over.
It's kind of gross. It's kind of gross. But hello, everybody. And welcome to, I think it's 165 of these, something like that. But
it's in the 160s.
Yeah, I'm happy to be back. Mike, last week, Man Pup Mondays, your brethren doing huge numbers. It's so typical. It's typical that, like, we have Matt Pinfield on and Lenny Dykstra on and these, like, icons from, like, our childhood and names that every guy knows.
And add to it, when you put it up on social media, everybody's like, oh, my God, that's so cool, and they react.
I'm starting to think that, oh, my God, so cool means I'm going to listen to it maybe. Because I tell a lot of people, and they're like, oh, my God, that's so cool. And
when they say maybe, it's generally no.
It's generally no. It's like, it's generally like, no, I'm not going to get to it. I'd rather listen to the radio. I honestly still think, as popular as podcasts are, and as many of them are, I still think the general public has no idea how to listen.
No, I don't think so, because, I mean, we kind of discussed this before. When we have some episodes that are a little long, we're kind of looking at you, do we cut it up or whatever? And the first thought is, well, it's a podcast. You listen to it going to work.
Yep.
It takes, you go 30 minutes, all right, shut it off. When you get in the car, you can start back up at the same point and join right in.
If you're like me, which is probably not common, but at the gym, I listen to podcasts. Like, running, I listen to podcasts. I pretty much always have something going on. I know that's not everybody, but I really think a lot of people don't know just how to listen. And if you are tuning in for the first time, I learned this, that sometimes we should identify ourselves first. So we are Scott and Mike, and we've been doing this podcast for a long time now.
We're going on close to 3 years, aren't we?
Oh, yeah. For sure. And we each week, we interview really interesting people. I always kind of said
sometimes
to,
not.
Yeah. I always said to Mike, we're kind of like, remember that show Dirty Jobs? Like, we're kind of like the Dirty Jobs of podcasting. One week it could be a bug chef, and the next week it could be Matt Pinfield or Lenny Dykstra. When we've had a lot of really, really
sometimes
fantastic.
Sometimes we wonder if Lenny Dykstra is a bug chef.
He might be. He might do.
He's macking on them girls on Twitter.
Oh, my God. Lenny Dykstra. Lenny. Lenny is. Lenny will still be one of the. When this podcast is long and gone and we are no longer doing this, Lenny might be, like, one, still the most ridiculous episode. I can't imagine it being that. Too many people being that much more ridiculous. So we literally just picked up a crackhead off the street and was like, all right, you're on. Which we can start doing.
We're Jersey comedians. We're sure to find a couple.
And there are those weeks where we're scrambling for a guest. Hey, you. I'll give you $10.
No, don't touch my pants. Not that.
There's a brilliant idea for podcasts. Remember, like, bum fights when that was, like, a big thing?
Bum cast.
What's crazy is we could probably start that tomorrow.
That sadly sounds like the greatest idea ever invented.
A bumcast is pretty pretty remarkable. I might have to make that happen. But so last week's episode is doing well. Your man pup buddy, Kaz Pup.
He's our buddy.
Well, I mean, you've seen him in a different element than I've seen him in, your free time.
I mean, the way you're moving this, I don't appreciate it. And I had a story about going to a barbecue this weekend, but now I think I had to hold back on it.
Oh, dude. Well, we'll get to that one second. I just from barbecue. Really cool, Mike.
Well, I mean, I don't know now, Scott.
Do share, Mike. Give it that just a second. We'll return to the barbecue because that really needs to be dissected. But I was looking at our numbers before. Now, I don't go into specific numbers, but I don't know if you've looked at them recently. But
I forgot how to log into there, to be honest. I used to do it all the time, but when I did hashtag cocaine, but...
You should rephrase how you say that. It sounds like you just said to the audience,
no,
like,
it sounds right.
Back when I did, you know, hashtag cocaine, when I had a hashtag problem, and I went to hashtag rehab.
That would be the most boring thing, to get on cocaine and then look at our podcast numbers. I would be the most boring crackhead in the history of crackheads. Then again,
it would explain your tweet fest back then. Like, hey, Dollar Tree, like, just coked out of your mind, going a million miles an hour.
I rehab. Yeah, this is Dollar Tree. He did it again. Yeah, he's back on the sauce.
All right, so I was analyzing some of these numbers.
Our
United States numbers. I always like to look at them. Now, Mike, you probably know this, but the listeners might find this interesting.
All right.
What state likes us the most?
California.
California. Now, we are a Jersey-based podcast, which means it's the furthest destination other than Hawaii and Alaska, really, that can listen to us. California likes us best, followed by Jersey. And followed by New York. So Jersey and New York are actually like almost are identical in the last month.
Kind of makes sense.
And California is, I feel like California might be up there because like a lot of tech people out there, they probably listen to podcasts, things like that. But I wanted to ask you, what do you think the fourth state is?
Fourth state.
The fourth state. The fourth highest state that loves us.
I'm going to guess Florida.
Nope, Florida is the 9th state.
Well, made the top 10.
No.
Good for Florida.
No. A second guess.
Washington.
Washington, the 8th state, Mike. I feel like we're on a game show, Mike.
Scott, I talked to my dad. We're gonna push it forward.
One more. All right, one more. Take one more guess at who loves us the most.
Texas
is correct, Mike. Texas is the fourth state that likes us most. Now, sometimes I like to think about like what guests we had that maybe like would trigger that, you know, like their what location. But I have no idea why Texas likes us.
The Ghost Cast. Yeah. Episode 26, put us over.
Now, I wanted to go down. Some states don't even listen to us. Not one listen from Sam.
Not what, like in the year, the month?
I'm right now on the tab, last 3 months.
Last three months with zero listens.
Zero.
All right, how many states we talking?
too many, but
all right.
I'm scrolling through a lot of them, and there's a...
All right, let me try to get some states in that category.
All right, yeah, give me a state.
I am going to guess Alaska.
That is correct. No one in Alaska likes Verbal Shenanigans. Absolutely no one. Not one.
Not one Alaskan. They have nothing to do up there.
Not one Alaskan.
They can listen to us all day. It just snows. It's a scientific fact.
I'm going to parlay that. I am sorry.
What?
False report. Fake news. Alaska has reported 4 listens in the last 3 months. I knew it. I missed them. It's not alphabetical, so I have a hard time with anything.
Yeah.
Hawaii crushing it with 6 listens in the last 3 months to us. Hawaii, hey, thank you.
Thanks, Barack.
Mahalo.
Yeah.
Thank you. But you know who does not like us?
Mississippi.
Mississippi. Mississippi, let's see, I just gotta remember my states.
It's one of them in the middle, Scott. Yeah. That's the hardest part.
Yeah, I know. Like, I just always, sometimes I assume the U.S. is just like the East and the West. And
yeah.
All the stuff in the middle.
Middle?
Middle. That is correct. Mississippi does not listen to us at all.
Because it's burning.
Not one episode. I feel like Mississippi maybe is not the market we're going for anyway, so I'm kind of okay with it.
Yeah.
You know who also doesn't like us?
South Dakota.
South Kakalaki, Dakota.
You know, they got those presidents in, like, rocks, so they do that all day.
Bro, that's 2 in a row. South Dakota hates us. A surprising one. We are not big at all in Nevada. The Vegas, they don't. They got more things to do than...
You haven't made that deal where we do this on the Strip?
Yeah, not yet. I'm trying. Huh? I mean,
we can be the warm-up for Carrot Top.
That's probably where we're sitting these days.
That sounds like a good idea for a shenanigans guest.
I'm just trying to figure out... what state this is. My geography.
This is the teacher talking to you people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Montana. What's up with Montana?
I got a friend in Montana, too. I'm going to bitch her out.
Montana and Wyoming don't like us.
I can see Wyoming. Yeah. I pissed off some people in Wyoming.
But I figured it's good to look into the numbers. Some other states that do like us, Illinois loves us. Pennsylvania loves us. Washington, Florida, and Maryland, Oregon, and Arizona like us. Thank you, Illinois, Pennsylvania, yeah. Washington, Florida. All right, I'm gonna stop with this hacky bit, but tell us about the Bark BQ.
Yes.
Yes. It was a great time had by all. All right.
No, it wasn't. I mean, let's start off with the fact. I mean, as you know, I have our dog Callie.
You don't say.
And Callie is not known for liking other dogs.
Yeah, that's the first thing I was thinking about when you said you were bringing Callie to a dog
Bark event. BQ.
Bark BQ.
Yes. Say it, pronounce it correctly.
All right. I know you were probably very involved. I got it.
So, it was initially proposed to me, and I kind of brought up, Callie's not really good with dogs, and I'm guessing there's going to be dogs at a barbecue.
That's why I brought you on this show. That brain you can't find anywhere
Scott,
else.
I did research. Dogs were there.
Right. Okay. So it wasn't tree-centric event.
It was I mean, that's a good point. And then it got overturned after the fact that, there's a photographer there so we can take a picture?
Do tell.
So amazingly, on Friday night, it's like, yay, we get to do the barbecue tomorrow. I'm like, I am? What? I put logic out there, and that was supposed to work, but that didn't work out too well.
Right.
So we drive there. It's kind of, it's in the area of Scotty's, a little bit past that. I don't think it's in Springfield, but it's some city near Springfield.
Milburn, maybe, something like
somewhere in there. But, right off the bat, there's no parking there. People are parking on the streets, and I'm driving, and I'm not a parallel parker in any way. I parallel parked as part of my driving exam when I was 16. I think the next time I made an attempt was about 34.
Stop.
I don't
parallel park. You've avoided parallel parking for the better part of your life.
Pretty much. I don't drive into New York. I take the trains all the time.
I sense a challenge.
And I don't like to do it. So, and add to it,
we have to do the Burloo parallel parking showdown. You have 10 different parallel parks you have to do, and you got to score a 70 or something like that.
Oh, believe me, I will be lucky to get a 20.
Luckily. All right, now I'll think twice about driving with you, but okay, go ahead.
So, off the bat, I'm very frustrated. Literally, we drove a mile in one direction, and I really didn't see anything whatsoever.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it was a huge line. They don't have a parking lot. Well,
so
it's
the
in a park.
The barbecue was off the chain, as far as...
I guess so.
See what I did there?
I see that, because leashes are on chains.
Gotcha.
Okay.
So there was a lot of people here.
Yeah, so I got frustrated, and it kind of turned around. And then I'm like,
I'm picturing the frustration. I don't want to go to the goddamn barbecue. Saying that in a serious context makes me laugh.
I'll come up in a minute.
Okay.
But we drive back away the other round. And I mean, Izzy used to go into New York all the time, so she's used to parallel parking, not me. So I'm like, there's no spots, and it's driving me nuts. And then she's like, look, there's one right there. And I stop to attempt the parallel park, and then the guy behind me gets right up on my ass, and it just triggered me in some way. I'm like, God damn it! I'm trying to do this, and she's trying to do the wave around thing, and then she's like, "Oh, he was about to do it," but I got frustrated. I'm like, "God damn it!" And I just took off, and we speed away. So she's then angry with me. She's yelling and all, just go home. You're not making this any fun and all. And I'm like, I didn't want to do this anyway. And then I'm like, oh, a spot.
Okay, so you find your spot without parallel parking.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much, it's still parallel parking, but there's nobody there. So it's like you can just pull in and then back up a little bit. So So off the bat, we're kind of at each other's throats. And the lady was like, well, we need to talk about this. I'm like, no, I don't really need to talk about it. Let's just get through this right now.
She wanted to have a little bow wow powwow.
Yeah, a little, you know, back and forth. Okay. But so we get the dog out, and we're not even 3/4 of a mile away. She sees one dog, and I'm holding on to the dog for dear life. Mm-hmm. And I'm just kind of cringing. And then she's like, well, did you lock the car? I'm like, I think I did. She's like, did you think or did you do? So I'm just like biting my lip right now. I'm like, just in public, don't burlew this up.
You know? Don't burlew it. Don't burlews today.
I start walking back, and luckily I can get far away yet close enough where the key fob would work.
Okay.
Then we walk into the barbecue. Right off the bat, I got to throw $10 in for, donation to the barbecue.
Right.
Then it's picture time. And funny thing, there's a lot of dogs in this line.
No.
And Callie doesn't like the fact that there's a lot of dogs
first off,
in this
line. It'd be really weird if there were no dogs in the line. Now, I could see you, like, prior to Cali, like, being like, I'm just going to hang out in the dog line because I'm going to optimize my dog.
My petting.
Yeah.
So she's getting so bad, even walking up to it, I had to pick up Cali and walk with her in my arms. And Cali is 50
she's
pounds.
She's not super tiny, no.
She's not super tiny, but after walking a quarter mile with 50 pounds in your arm, you kind of feel it.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, I'm going to
I saw you walk across the Kilt Fest thing with like five pounds of microphone equipment. And
I didn't have potassium in my system, Scott.
It almost took you out, but yeah. Okay, all right.
So I put her down, and sure enough, like, I got to clench the leash for dear life because there's dogs in front of her, dogs to the right.
Now, at this point, is anybody looking at you strange because you have a full head-to-toe dog outfit on yourself?
I did not wear that, Scott. Oh. We had this discussion before.
All right.
They were looking because of 200 dogs. There was only one dog barking nonstop, and it was Catahoula Callie. So, and meanwhile, as I'm, like, offline to try to calm the dog down and try to shut her up, Izzy is basically talking to everybody in line and petting all the dogs. And
so she's doing what you wanted to do.
Yeah, there's no way around it. That's pretty much it.
Okay.
So finally get through the line, get her there. She's barking like crazy, lucked out. The photographer did a good job distracting her enough where it was a good picture. I'll give credit for that. I mean, okay. We're sitting on haystacks. It's a full kind of view. Callie's wearing her sweater.
Of course.
Yeah. Keep in mind also, when we went out, it was like 50 degrees. When we got there, it was 80 degrees. So I'm wearing this right here, and I was sweating like a mofo, but got the nice photo in.
Well, I mean, all that leather does make you hot.
Yeah, I did not wear leather. I am not a man. Right, so we've been discussing this for the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, it'll come out. So
got the picture done.
Yep.
Now we're walking around trying to see other stuff, and same thing kind of all around. We go to one place where, you know, they give away free stuff. So Izzy got to spin the wheel, and we got a free little plastic thing that comes with like poop bags where you connect it.
Oh yeah, I had one of those
for
myself.
Dog. Yeah. So she connects it to the top of the hoop where you're holding it. And I kind of look at her, I'm like, I think you're supposed to connect this to the dog collar itself. And she's like, I'll just leave it there for now. So we walk around and we go into this one area where it's like I don't know what to call it. It's basically the people has all the past information about all your dogs. So she's like, oh, I want to see Kelly's bio before we picked her up and see if we can get any pictures of Kelly's puppies. So I'm in there with her. I have to hold the dog because there's three dogs. It's a narrow area, so I can't let the dog down. So I'm standing there in the sun holding a 55-pound dog, and I'll just tell her, please be good, please be good, please be good, please be good. Had to let her down for a sec. Of course, she tried to attack one dog, and I pull her away, so I go to a different area. As I'm sitting there in a different area, a woman's coming up with a dog, and she's walking with a cane.
Right.
She has a little limp, but I mean, I don't notice how close she's getting at first. I'm looking around because Callie's starting to bark at this one dog, and she's pulling over to, like, my right-hand side, and I'm pulling her, no, you can't go there, no, you can't go there. The second she turns her head, she notices the lady with the cane's dog is close enough. She sprints the other direction. Now, she goes far enough, she doesn't get to the dog. But the thing is, she's behind a lady, and I have to pull. So I pull my 55-pound dog into an injured woman's leg.
Did the woman fall? Or
she didn't fall.
No.
But literally, the leg I pulled Callie into is the one where she's holding her cane in. And I'm just mortified right now. I'm just like, I am so sorry. And all. I'm just thinking in my head, I re-crippled a woman with my dog.
Did you ever say a statement, sorry, it's my first barbecue? Like,
I should have. She would have understood that.
Sorry, it's my first time at the barbecue.
Yeah,
I'm a newbie.
I'm a pup here.
Wow.
So then we get out of there and we go over. It's,
do we have the guest on? Do we have the guest coming on or no?
I don't see anything yet for them. So it's like 1 p.m. I didn't have breakfast, so like I'm starving. And it's a barbecue, so there's got to be some of the barbecue part for the humans. So
how are the biscuits? How are the kibble?
No, I did not eat that.
Oh, okay.
So we go over to the food area, and off the bat, I look at it. It's like burgers and dogs. That's not a real barbecue. And then add to it, it's like $6 for a burger, $7 for a cheeseburger. And it's like, I can get that at a restaurant. It'll be a good burger in a restaurant. I ain't going to get that here. But I'm like, all right, we're here. We'll get burgers and whatever. Izzy's up there trying to do the order. I'm surrounded now. Literally circle the dogs around me. And I don't know what...
So, sans Callie, this is heaven. With Callie, with Callie, this is hell.
Yeah, pretty much. So, she's pulling in every direction. And going back to the plastic poop bag holder that's on the hoop, Callie pulls in a direction where I have to adjust. My thumb gets into the plastic area, and it bruises my finger, where I just scream, son of a bitch, and I just pull her away. I'm in the middle of the park as people are looking at me, and Izzy's like, you know what, we're not going to have the burgers, and we left.
You know why this makes me so happy? Not that, I mean, obviously.
About 200 different ways, but go to the specific
answer. It's a crappy, obviously a crappy day, but it's just everything there is everything you love. But yet you are somehow forced to be this miserable, and then you're hurting yourself during this miserable experience.
I'm hurting injured people as is.
You're hurting injured ladies. this is, I love it, man. I'm sorry, but I mean, at least it's entertaining.
I figured you would enjoy this. That's why I sucked it up. And
Yeah. Well,
I am not a man.
I'm sorry the bark BQ didn't work out as planned, but I'm also very grateful that the barbecue didn't work out as planned, because it gives us a little story here on the show. But I think we should get to our first guest, right?
Yeah.
So let's do it. All right. Mike Berlew, guest time.
Oh.
You know what's our favorite time?
Yeah. When we're not doing the show?
Yeah, I would say mine's usually right when we're doing the outro.
Yeah.
But who we got?
We got for ourselves here tonight a man named Rick Woodbury, who owns a company known as Commuter Cars, where they are designing cars in Spokane, Washington, that are one-seaters, ultra-thin in length, and trying to be brought out to the community as an alternative for high-traffic driving.
All right. Well, I'm checking them out right now, and they're interesting looking, that's for sure. So let's get Rick on the line here.
Commuter Cars, Rick speaking.
Hey, Rick, this is Mike Berlew and Scott Brennan from the Verbal Shenanigans podcast. How are you doing tonight?
Hi, just fine, thanks.
We took a lot of time to get you on the air, but we finally got it done, so...
we did it!
Woo!
That's great.
Where are you calling us, or we calling you from tonight here, Rick?
Oh, I'm in Spokane, Washington.
Okay. Now, Spokane's not really kind of known as like the car belt of the world, if you will. So why don't you give us a little heads up on what got you into the car field and eventually into making commuter cars?
Sure. Well, living in Los Angeles. Yeah, so I grew up mostly in the San Francisco Bay Area, and then I moved to Los Angeles in about 1981, I think, and I was living in Beverly Hills, and then I moved to Hermosa Beach, which is actually where I was born, and my commute to Beverly Hills is, I don't know, it seemed like an hour or more every day to go 30 miles. It got even worse than that at times, but that was in 1982, as I recall. And at that time, I'd always been interested in hydrogen power. And so what I was thinking as I was driving my Porsche stuck in traffic, I thought, you know, if we had narrow cars, we could have twice as many cars on the road and we could solve this problem, because I noticed around me every single car had only one person in it. So, you know, the idea festered my mind. And I thought, you know, someday they'll come out with hydrogen cars and they'll be ballasted with a hydride, a metal hydride that can carry hydrogens quite heavy. So I thought that would be your ballast, and that's the way you keep it right side up. Being a Porsche race driver at the time, I knew that, you know, center of gravity is everything, and I knew it was kind of odd to think about ballasting a car, but I figured, you know, if you have to ballast it to make it narrow, that's better than sitting in traffic. So anyway, the idea stayed with me for a long time, and I learned about fuel cells later, I think in the mid-90s. And that sounded even more exciting for the future of cars. But it was actually the decision came about kind of oddly that I'd get into trying to build it myself. And that's that I had a 35-foot schooner sailboat, a junk rig schooner over in the Sound, which is about 4.5 hours from here by driving. And I'd go over there every weekend. And at one point, my kids called up crying, saying, you know, Mom's leaving if you don't sell the boat. Oh, crap. So, anyway. That's what happened. I sold the boat. I actually had a profit, so that was kind of lucky. Got $49,000 for it, and that's the money that started the company. We needed another project, and the narrow car idea seemed like nobody else was going to do it if we didn't do it ourselves. So we bought an electric car that was just a Fiat that had been converted, and it had you know, motor, batteries, transmission, and everything. And we modified it to fit in a 3-foot-wide by 7-foot-long frame. And we started driving it around, but the torque from the motor was so strong that it just destroyed the Fiat transmission. We went to the drag strip once and stomped on it, and you could hear teeth flying all over the place. So there was a lot of, you know, that kind of thing going on in the beginning days. But it was just a roll cage on wheels, and we did get it registered here in Washington. We were able to drive it on the road, which was cool. But we had to come up with another solution. So I kept looking for how can I make a 2-speed transmission. And it looked really expensive and very difficult because these series wound motors are just, they're lots and lots of torque off the line, but they lose torque at higher RPM. A friend of mine who is a big EV enthusiast and an electrical engineer said, there's another way to double torque. And I said, what's that? And he said, well, 2 motors. And I said, oh, you mean like the Maniac Mazda that did an 11-second quarter mile? I'm all in, you know. So I got really excited. I got 2 motors and put them in. He told me about series parallel shifting, which meant that we would be in series between the 2 motors, running the current through both motors for off the line acceleration, and then after you started to lose torque, you switched to parallel, which gives you the high voltage to both motors, and it's like afterburners kicking in. Well, we've done 3.2 seconds 0 to 60 in quarter miles in 12.2 seconds, so needless to say, it worked, and we were beating Corvettes around a racetrack, around an autocross track at Spokane Raceway. So we knew we had something, and now the trick was to make it look good and make it look like a real car instead of just a roll cage on wheels. So that was, that's kind of how it all started.
Now, where are you making this first prototype? Are you doing it like at home,
well,
or in our
garage?
Nice.
Yeah, we had an office. We had a book composition company. We did art books and scholarly monographs for University of California Press, University of Washington, places like that. So we were kind of in the printing publishing area, pre-press, not actually printing in the press. I did do that in my past, but that's way back in the 60s, 70s.
So while you're developing this car, you work in a normal day job too? Is this a side project,
well,
or are you all in?
Business. I don't know if it's ever been really a pay job. It kept us alive, you know. We've had as many as 10 employees in that business, and we're down to 3 now. So it's, it pays the bills, basically, and it's enjoyable for the people who work there. I don't really have anything to do with that, and haven't for the last pretty much 20 years since I've been involved in commuter cars. It's been full-time for me, the car business. And back when we started, I was, working out of our garage at home because our office downtown was up on the second floor and no place to build cars. But we moved almost right away. I think it was 1999. We moved into our new facility, which was 8,000 square feet.
Nice.
Of industrial with a truck dock and a ramp and everything. So we had lots of room to work. Actually, I was already making the move to this because I wanted to build my own 42-foot schooner sailboat, but that wasn't going to happen. So.
Pick one. Solo seat car or 42-foot boat. Those are big. Those are very different things.
Well, they're kind of small, so they can fit on the boat, Scott. That's you can't true. Do both at the same time.
It's true. You can haul your boat with it.
But I love challenges. I love building. I've always loved that. This is something that's, you got to have a project. But this car took over the boat project completely, and I never looked back. I mean, I've just, the boats were fun. It was a good thing in my life because I learned to weld. I learned to do a lot of things that I didn't know how to do before. So now, I've put kind of all my life experience from electronics to, racing and everything that I've learned, because I don't learn well from school. I only made it through the 10th grade. So I graduated from the 10th grade with horrors.
Now, what was the time frame from when you designed the car to when you started building it to when you started racing it? And does it get in your mind that you're like, did I put everything in here correctly when you're driving the car that you made yourself and trying to race it?
Yeah, I mean, I race Porsches. I've seen things break, and I've seen what happens when they do and how scary it is. And so, I put a lot of attention to how I build things. And I use, I use the best resources I can find. In this case, it was Herb Adams, who wrote a book called Chassis Engineering, and he had a lot to do with the design of this chassis even before I met him, because I used his book to design the first chassis and get all the suspension lined up and so forth. And, we made everything very robust. When we saw things break that we got off the Fiat that we purchased originally, we realized that it was... we needed really robust things, so we wound up with, I think it was like Cadillac or Oldsmobile spindles and things. Just everything was super heavy duty. We'd broken axles before because of the high torque, so we just went with the biggest one we could find from big, heavy GM equipment. And, during the early days, I'd say it was about 1998, 99, it was the first few months a lot happened because we got a car out and registered and working within literally months, but putting a body on it took the rest of the year. And I think it was summer of 2000 is when we actually had it looking fairly decent. If you'd step back 25 feet, it was
Now, so what
don't
is
get
the,
up too close.
Yeah. What is the goal for your cars, and like how many do we have at this point, or are they in full production?
Well, there's only 12 right now, 12. And unless I have billions of dollars, I can't jump into putting them out in the volume that I think is required to solve the problem I'm trying to solve.
Right.
You know, there's 140 million workers in the U.S., and people probably don't realize it, but there's 107 million single-occupant drivers. That's pretty amazing, isn't it?
Mm.
107 million single-occupant drivers out of 140 million workers. So then you go down to, there's just this bar graph on our webpage under traffic, and you can see it's just this huge line. These are single-occupant drivers. Then you have a few carpools down there, and then you have people that walk and people stay home. And then you have all of the public transit, these little tiny blips that don't amount to anything. It all adds up to about 5%. So when the government tells us we need more public transit to solve the traffic problem, it's a joke. It just doesn't do it. I mean, it works in certain places like New York City, where the density is so intense that you know, public transit's the only way it can work. But you take a city like L.A., San Francisco Bay Area, all these places, people live all over the place, and they need to go all over the place. There's no fixed route transit that's ever going to solve these people's problems, especially if they have enough money. You know, if you can afford a car, it is the most efficient way to get from point A to point B for probably 90% of all people. And if you happen to live near a BART in San Francisco and you can take a subway to where you want to go, I mean, that's fantastic. But how many people have that opportunity to live and work near a station? You just have to look at a map and see how many people live elsewhere to kind of get the big picture. You really have to kind of get up in the sky and look at it from a distance and say, you know, this is not the logical way to fix this problem. You know, we need individual transportation, but we don't need to haul around four empty seats. You know, I have a kind of a smallish two-car garage, but I can literally fit 8 Tangos in it.
Wow.
I mean, that's
nice.
How small this car is, you know.
Now, let me ask you, would it work more for you? Where do you see it? Do you see yourself more as a make of a car, your own brand as you have with the Tango, or would it help you more to be like own the copyright to the model itself and try to sell the design to like a Ford or Chevrolet or something like that?
I just want to solve the problem, you know, so whatever way works, I would do it. I mean, obviously, if I had my choice, I'd have investors come up with a couple billion dollars like Tesla has had happen, and you get the whole company and I run it myself. You know, I get, you know, good people running it because I'm not really good at all the aspects.
We got your back. We'll invest.
But, yeah. We'll start a GoFundMe.
We got about 56 bucks to invest. What does that get us?
But you know what I mean? I mean, if I had my druthers, I'd run the company or at least have control over it. If I can't, then I'd license it. But I've just read two different biographies of the Wright brothers, and I think they had it right. You know, they just...
No pun intended.
They built it right. You know, they built the plane so it would work, and they solved all the problems, and they really enjoyed the engineering problems. And, you know, unfortunately, nobody listened to them. I mean, in Dayton, you couldn't even get it in the paper, even though they were actually doing test flights there and flying around. People just didn't give it any importance. They just didn't realize how important it was. But as soon as they got it going in France, then, wow, you know, famous people are starting to check it out. And the U.S. government's finally so embarrassed, they finally checked it out, too, and they did tests and stuff and put it out to bid. And of course, they were the only ones who had it to fly, so they won the bid. But, you know, it was little by little. They wound up somewhat wealthy. I think in today's dollars, they were, you know, multimillionaires, but not, I don't think they were even worth $100 million in today's dollars. But, you know, they didn't make a lot of money, and I really don't care about making much money either. The only reason I want money is so that I can build more cars and change the world, you know, but not about making money.
Interesting. What is the demand? Like, what kind of feedback have you gotten from these cars, and what is the demand? Are you getting, like, personalized orders, or how are you working, like, your business plan?
Well, I do get an order, you know, about once a year or so, average, I'd say. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, we sold George Clooney a car in 2005.
Oh, man, that's a nice handsome face to promote the product.
Yeah, we had 10 more orders right away.
there you go.
And then, you know, it took us 3 years to build those out and didn't even complete the last one.
Wow.
we ran out of money before we get them all delivered. The average cost of these cars has been $417,000 each. If you consider the $3 million of investment and the $2 million in orders that I've had over the last 19 years, that's it. And my salary is $2,000 a month, so I'm not even making minimum wage.
Wow.
But I don't care. I'm fine. You know, I live as comfortably as I need to, and I enjoy what I do, and I've got freedom, and, you know, that's what more can you ask for.
I mean, that's...
What more can ask for, I guess, is enough people to believe in it to put the money into it to make this thing take off, because there's no excuse for not having these cars in mass production. I mean, how can there not be a market for a safe drive motorcycle? I mean, how many people would ride bikes if they were safe, if they knew they were, their life wasn't at risk?
And then just thinking about the market, I mean, this could be great for, like, college kids going out or somebody having a second car. They have the SUV for the wife to... for the kids and all that, and then you had the car for just driving to work, and all. I mean, that's
precisely
gotta be the painful
thing.
We're
not trying to replace the family car. We're just trying to add another tool to your tool bin. You know, it's like if you have a sledgehammer and you drive finish nails 90% of the time, you buy a claw hammer, you don't throw the sledgehammer away. You might use it later. You know?
No.
In the case of this, you use it on the SUV on weekend. You tow the boat and all that. I'm not saying get rid of the SUV. I'm just saying that when you're driving to work by yourself and back and you know you're not going to need anything more than the Tango, then that's the perfect vehicle. And it certainly is for me. I mean, I love driving it. It's so fast and so fun to drive that I can't imagine driving anything else unless I have to. You know, we do have a Leaf for the family for carrying around grandchildren and stuff, but that's... You know.
Now, interestingly, I read on your site how it's proven, like, California, Washington, also in Britain, New Zealand. When you go out and drive these cars, have you been pulled over from cops just, like, looking at it? It's like, that can't be legal, or just, like, curious what the heck is it?
I have been pulled over a few times in California. I was driving very regularly, and I was actually doing deliveries for Sidecar, which is a lot like Uber, and I was trying to work my way up to do passengers, and I was able to do that. I gave 8 passenger rides before Sidecar closed. They went under, which is really a shame. But they were the only company that would allow a two-door car to be used for carrying people. But I gave those 8 people a ride they never forgot. I mean, San Francisco Hills, this thing just shoots up. I'm lane splitting, going in between the cars. You know, it's really fun. It's just, you know, you just get places so quickly. And I've saved as much as an hour in a 30-mile drive just driving between the cars in a rainstorm coming up from San Jose towards San Francisco. So it's...
Yeah, I kind of wanted to ask you about that. Like, the picture on your site is 2 cars together in 1 lane. Are there any kind of rules like that would have to be changed to allow people to, like, if this did become pretty mass marketed and, like, available, like, would 2 people be allowed to drive in a lane like that, like motorcycles?
It really depends on the state. I know that it's legal in Washington and California for 2 to drive in a lane like that, and I'm not sure about other state laws, but it is kind of the way the state laws are written. The lane splitting is only legal in California, and there's legislation working in Washington, Texas, Oregon, and Hawaii to allow lane splitting in those states as well, but it hasn't been passed yet.
Now,
but that's where you drive right down the white line. Just, you know, ignore the lines and drive between the cars.
Well, I do that anyway. I don't care.
Oh, cool. I heard somebody tell me about Tyler. They said, you should sell these over there. Hell, they lane split with city buses there.
Well, I mean, looking at the list, I mean, have you thought about some countries like China and India where there's super large bikes and...
I'm open to the whole world. The whole world is our country, in my opinion. I mean, I think everybody in the world needs it, and everybody in the world has the same wishes we have, which is happiness and freedom. And so, you know, try to help anybody out that wants to do it. But, you know, it takes money. And the thing about the Asians is that they really don't start things like this. It's just not their nature. You know, it's... They see something that works, and then they copy it, and they do a really good job of that. And the Japanese started out doing that, and the Taiwanese, and now the Chinese are getting pretty good at it too. You know, very good at it actually.
Now, so let me ask you. I like I'm 6'4", and Mike's pretty
Mike, 6'3".
Yeah, 6'3", 6'4". We're both pretty big guys.
You'd fit in there, both of you together, with no problem.
Together?
I had a guy 6'10", 325 pounds in the front seat, said he was comfortable in it. So that's a lot bigger than you are.
So you mean me, like Mike could sit on my lap and we'd both fit, no problem?
No, there's two seats in front of the other. And,
Scott, I'm driving!
Legs, you have lots of room for legs on the sides. I had a guy 7 foot in the back seat. I mean, he wasn't comfortable because he was hunched over a bit. But his legs were fine because they were on either side of the seat.
We'd be like the two-man bobsled.
Yeah, it's a bit like that.
Wait,
yeah. Like on a motorcycle, I used to straddle the driver. It's the same thing with this one.
Scott, he found a 7-footer in Seattle. It might be Sean Kemp who we've been trying to get for the last year. That's true.
We've been trying to get
Yeah, the 7-footer was in Santa Monica, actually. It was a car show in Santa Monica.
So, Rick, what is the goal? The goal right now, or what?
The goal is to build millions of them, but it's like, how do I get there? So, right now, I'm building a car for a guy in Australia who's already prepaid $320,000 for it.
Nice.
And I'm putting a complete Tesla battery pack in that one, so it has 90 kilowatt hours. Yeah, you know, I'm using Tesla modules from a wrecked Tesla that was almost perfect. I mean, it was banged up all the way around, but the battery box is absolute perfect shape.
Mm-hmm.
And so those only have 4,000 miles on them. And all the modules fit, well, 12 of the modules fit as they are, and four of them had to be converted into six modules that are shorter. So that's been quite a bit of work, to tell you the truth.
So it's all
going to fit.
So if people want to like get more information or they hear this, maybe they want to look it up or contact if they want to invest, you know. Because usually when people come on the Verbal Shenanigans podcast, the investments and the money that pours in afterwards is insane.
We were the origin for Shark Tank.
But if people want to check you out or get more information or visit and see some things, where they go?
Very accessible. Yeah, just rick@commutercars.com is my email address, and it's right on the website. My phone number is also on there, too, so commutercars.com. And there's a lot of information on there. It also gives a whole breakdown of pricing strategy. I have a team lined up that we could build the cars for $44,000 each for, you know, 100-mile range. It would be a two-wheel drive version at that price, but it would be very quick, just like this one, maybe not quite as quick. But they'd be $44,000 each at a volume of $2,500 a year, and we need, you know, at least $30 million to produce that car. But, you know, when you consider marketing and all the rest, we'd probably need $50 million. If we had $150 million, we could get the price down to $29,000 each. And that would be a 15,000 a year production. So it depends on what the investor wants to gamble. If they want to go for, you know, the $29,000 car, that would be, I would think, a huge market at that price. A lot of people would rather do that than take their regular car. So I think it would work very well. And also, it's fast, it's fun, and it really is arguably the safest car on the freeway. It can avoid accidents better than any other car. The way we built this one, it has four times more impact production than any other car on the road. It's got a full NASCAR roll cage with literally four times more steel in the door than a Volvo. So it's really safe, and you feel good in a four-point harness. It's, you know, it's like your little race car, you know?
Has there been thoughts of working with the people who do the self-driving cars, maybe make it like an Uber system where you just, you know, call it in and then self-driving car comes up, you have a car to your own?
It would be perfect, and there's no reason not to. It's just money. I mean, it's been hard enough for me to build cars at all to make them as nice as they are, but to make it self-driving just takes a lot more cash. But if somebody wanted to do that, I'm all in. I mean, yeah, let's do it.
That's awesome. What color is your personal Tango?
It's a light blue metallic. I didn't really have a personal one. They were all sold to customers, but I bought one back from a customer who wasn't driving it. I said, come on, man. You know, let me drive it if you're not going to drive it.
You got to promote the thing.
He sold it back to me really reasonably.
Rick, thank you so much, man, and good luck with the future of the business. I think it's a fantastic idea, and I feel like you just need to keep working, and something's going to hit, and it's there.
Never easy doing things different, you know. I mean, the Wright Brothers biographies are a perfect example of that. It's really, really cool to see what they went through, and it's just tenacity. You just keep going, and
well, maybe we'll, maybe someone will be reading your biography one day about commuter cars.
Yeah, I don't care about that, but I really want people to be driving narrow cars and get rid of these traffic jams. There's just no excuse for
no reading, just drive.
Rick, thanks so much, man, and good luck.
Thank you. My pleasure. Take care.
Take care, Rick.
Pretty interesting.
Yeah. It's a different view of the world. It kind of makes sense, but as always, any good idea needs money.
Yeah, and it's like sometimes you wear like the good idea, then the big guy just comes in and makes like the same thing, just a little different, and then that's, you know, he's just blown out of
business. I see money in that. Guys, take that.
Yes, yes, take that. Figure that one out. Yeah. All right, just
twist that to the left instead of the right for copyright reasons, and it's ours.
I don't know why that's how I picture like every evil. Yes.
I will take Yahoo and make it Google.
Yahoo.
Yeehoo.
Remember, remember like some of the early search? Remember, I think Dogpile was one of them, and there was a whole bunch of early search engines.
Yeah, there was crazy. Like they all came out at once. It's like, no, you can't possibly search the internet with that. Now it's like anybody's like, well, why are you on Bing? What the?
Oh,
hell?
All right. I got Alta Vista. I remember that one. InfoSeek. I don't know. 94 Web Crawler. I remember Web Crawler.
Was Lycos one, or was that a...
Lycos, yep. 94. They all came out... the history of search engines. And people who think I know this, I'm looking at it online. Yeah. Excite in 93.
Oh, that's a great name. Did it have three X's, so it seemed extreme? It
seemed new, cutting edge. And then Yahoo in 94, Web Crawler, Lycos, InfoSeek, Alta Vista, Inktomi.
Ask Jeeves.
It was 1997. So, yeah, Google is just laughing all the way in the bank. Yeah. But, cool.
I wonder how many of those sites are still up there. They're like, no, we're going to get them back one day.
That's a really good point. Let's see. Web crawler. .com.
It goes to GoDaddy.
Oh, WebCrawler is still rocking. Let's see. Let's type
maybe they can contact them. Verbal. Can you be the official search engine of the Verbal Shenanigans podcast?
Let's see if we even come up on WebCrawler. It's probably like pay $1.99 to see search results. All right, guys. WebCrawler is still active, and we're right there.
Free Shenanigans Dictionary.
Yeah. Free Shenanigans Dictionary came up first.
Verbal Dictionary.
And then a couple other things, but we're there. All right, let's try another one.
Go ask Jeeves.
Lycos. Let's try Lycos.
Oh, okay.
Lycos.com. Lycos still there. Pretty decent front page.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ask Jeeves. Ask Jeeves.com.
It's just
ask.com.
Just ask and just type it in.
Well, they're still there. I just want to know what weirdo is using. Like, you know what? I'm really tired of Google and Yahoo. I don't know.
No.
I'm holding on to Jeeves. Yeah. I'm a Jeeves guy. I've always been a Jeeves guy.
He was good to me. Yeah. I want to be good back to him.
And me and Jeeves, we've been vibing for years. And I just...
There's like
I'm not ready to go to Google yet.
You know they have... They probably have, like, employees that, like, tell their friends and know, did you guys go on Jeeves.com today? We had some really exciting stuff. We changed the icon to a red circle with the word ask in it.
Isn't it crazy to think that, like, Google, like, it's this couple letters that we type into a box and... It brings us to this search engine thing that can find you anything you want to know in the entire world. Like, if you take a step back and think about it like that, it's like you don't have to look up anything ever again in your life. Like,
no.
You don't ever have to go and get a book or read or do anything.
Like, I was at work one day, and somebody was talking about her son bought this group of encyclopedias, which was missing two letters, and he swore it was going to be worth something someday. Do you want to know what was true in 1987? Look in this book.
I remember, like, the
just don't look under P.
I remember the commercials for, like, encyclopedia sets, Britannica.
Britannica.
Yeah, yeah, that's like right. Those are sitting right next to Beanie Babies somewhere, somewhere in a shed.
Yeah, and you always lost one book. You always like, Mom, where's Q?
Stupid report on Queens of England. But
why?
But let's take a break before we get out of here. All right, so we are back. We're back. So I had a couple. I had a couple things today. You went to the barbecue. I did the boyfriend thing, and I went apple picking, which is always,
it's the full white thing to do.
It is white boyfriend, like, mm-hmm. I think it's on the checklist. Like, you got to do it.
I think the second you do it, you vote Republican.
Yeah, yeah.
It's weird.
We did the whole apple picking thing and did the raspberries. It was actually kind of fun because it was beautiful outside yesterday. But
mm-hmm.
I was going to say... It was a distraction from awful sports, the NFL, and
listen,
my soccer team got clobbered. Liverpool got clobbered. The Giants didn't show up at all. That was the most boring game in the entire world. And then you guys, you did what you do. You hung in there for three quarters.
Yeah, yeah. I kicked a dog bed at one point, so dog wasn't in it for the record.
Yeah, before we have
you Scott, what? I'm barred from the barbecue now.
Probably better off. But yeah, your team did what they do.
Yeah, I mean, they were at least in it, and I can see some things where I'm like, all right, and maybe it's the first week. I mean, everybody knows, I mean, with the way summer camps are in preseason, they don't really hit. So you can sit back and go, okay, maybe by week 2, 3, 4... we'll get back on our game and compete.
Yeah, it's the same thing with the Giants. They were so bad that you're just like, they're just not having it tonight. Yeah. Like, hopefully they just regroup next week. But I realized that I am not that into football anymore.
I mean,
when it's beautiful I have a hard time sitting at 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock, like, especially this time of year. Maybe when
Scott,
it gets
12 more times you can see football, so.
Oh,
can just go through them all.
But yeah, like I have a hard time on a Sunday, like, staying inside and just sitting in front of the TV. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, after the Skins game was over, like, me and Izzy went out a little bit, and then we came back, and she's like, "I want to watch something." I didn't watch any of the Giants game, and be honest, at no point where I'm like, "Oh man, I want to know what's going on," and I really.
If
it's not Redskins, I don't really have that thrill outside of, like, playoffs and Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, I fell asleep in the third quarter of the Giants game because it's so late to begin with. And, like, I used to be able to watch the 1 o'clock, the 4 o'clock, the Monday, like, have them on all day long and, like, have a couple beers during the day. Now I have, like, two beers and watch football. I'm, like, asleep in the second half. I don't know.
They say the opening Thursday night had some terrible ratings, and the first thing they have to say is, well, it must have been Kaepernick.
Yeah.
That had to be.
Yeah, I just, I don't know. Like, I think that's really why I'm liking, like, over the past 5, 6, 7 years, just soccer so much more. Like, it's on at 10 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. Like, it's early in the morning because of the time difference. Mm-hmm. And, like, I'm done by 11 o'clock, and I have the whole day ahead of me. It's like, wow, this is nice.
I think that's the one thing I like about the London NFL games. Like, when the Redskins played over there, I mean, the game was over. I'm like, oh, my God, it's 12.
I can do something. That's
today.
What I think the West Coast has it. Like, the, you know, 10 o'clock, like, the games start, and then, like, the night game starts at, like, 5 or whatever it is. Like,
yeah.
That's nice. But I don't know. Football's not doing it for me anymore.
Well, going back to soccer for a minute, did you hear Alexi Lawless's rant about the U.S. men's team?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
I think the U.S. men's team is they're in this weird in-between stage. They have a stopgap coach at the moment. Bruce Arena's – I like Bruce Arena, but he's not the coach for the future.
Yeah.
He's been there before. It's kind of like bringing a veteran back to, like, get them to this World Cup, and then I think they're going to try to figure it out after that. Mm-hmm. But it's this weird conundrum where if you're Bruce, I get why they're starting, like, the older guard, the guys that have been there, because he doesn't have a contract past 2018, so his only goal is to get to the World Cup and play well in the World Cup. Whereas if you bring in, like, a developmental kind of coach who's going to be there for, like, a six-year contract, mm-hmm. he's going to play a lot of the young kids and figure it out. And in between, we just had two of the worst games I've ever seen the U.S. play in a long time.
Yeah,
the game I was at, which we didn't even get to talk about the last podcast, at Red Bull Stadium, amazing atmosphere. Excitement's there. It's a home World Cup qualifier in Jersey, New York. It's been a long time. And they couldn't get out of their own way. There was just no life at all to that team. And then, so they lose to Costa Rica. Costa Rica's a good team. And then the Honduras game was brutal. The second half, like, it was almost unwatchable. All they did was, like, try to play long balls over the top, and then it would go to the goalie, and the goalie would hold it and waste time for, like, a minute, and then punt it up. And then our goalie would get it, and he'd punt it up. And then they never created anything, barely any chances.
And it took them to, like, three quarters of the game before they tied it.
85 minutes. Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Or whatever it was. And I get it. It's a harsh place to play, blah, blah, blah. But here's the thing. You want to mean something in the world, right? U.S. has kind of been at the same level now for, like, three World Cups. Like, they're like, they flirt with like 30 something in the world. They go up and down, but they're usually around there. And they stay here. And all these little countries, the Honduras's, the Panamas, the Costa Ricas, mm-hmm. are getting better and better
Jamaica.
And better. And Jamaica. And they're bringing in better coaches. And they're bringing in, you know, there's a little bit more money to be had. And it feels like we're staying here and everyone else is getting close. It's going to take the United States to miss the World Cup for them to, like, wake up and shake things up.
It's kind of funny. I remember, like, two or three World Cups ago when, like, U.S. was ranked, like, 18th in the world. Okay. And, like, FIFA literally said, all right, this can't be right.
they basically had
to change everything. And they ended up, like, 29th, 30th. And it's right. Like, all right, yep, that's you.
I see the U.S., like, in that 30 to 40 range. Like, we're nowhere near the top. We struggle with anyone that lives nearby. I bet you we're down now. I bet you we're down in the 50s or something like that right now, the way they've been playing. And maybe you could look that up while we're talking.
Okay.
But if the U.S. does not make the World Cup, I'm going to be a miserable man, Michael Berlow, because that's pretty much my favorite thing. Is watching the USA games. Like, it's just something I really love.
I mean, I guess you'll have to DVR. I mean, you're not going to stay up in for Russia time to watch the games live, are you? Or do you love it much where you'd get up?
They'll be early. They'll be like, if there's like a 8 o'clock game, it'll be on at like, 6-7 hour difference, something like that.
Well, I think that's way more. I think it's around 9 or 10 difference.
I'd probably get up and do it, yeah. When I was in high school, when they were playing over in Germany, I think it was, I was up watching games in the middle of the night. But yeah, that was highly depressing. So what do we got there? FIFA rings. They got to be high.
26.
There's no way.
I mean, this is the FIFA / Coca-Cola world ranking.
Oh, huh. Even that's got a sponsor.
It's FIFA. Come on, man. You think they're going to give up money?
Yeah, that is nowhere near even there. I can tell you 26 teams right now that are better than U.S.
I'm on FIFA.com, 26 FIFA ranking position.
Yep.
Last update, August 10th, 2017.
Well, right now they're playing, like, lower than whatever Honduras is. So, I think it's the best time now for them to take a break. They got a month before the next game. Like 4 weeks before the next game, 3 weeks. And hopefully they get some health back on their back line, but...
Yeah, when you're anything worse than Honduras, you pretty much have to look at yourself in the mirror.
I mean, I get it.
Like, I think I outrank Honduras in certain things.
What exactly?
You know, compassion.
Height.
Height, yeah. Tallest guy in Honduras, 6'2".
Wait. You outrank Honduras in compassion?
Yeah, I do.
What? Do tell.
Well, I mean, I didn't want to go to the barbecue, but I did. I cared about my lady, so that's what got me up there. You know.
Yeah, I mean those.
Scott, I'm no Belize when it comes to compassion, but who
so
can
those
be?
Poor Hondurans who are like selling fruit by the roadside for their families all day and like building their own homes.
It's for drug money.
Your barbecue is higher on the compassion list than that.
Absolutely.
It's good to know that's how you view yourself in this.
I help you out. I mean, that's compassion.
So last podcast we talked about what is it, Dear Daniel? Was that it, Dear Daniel? There's some updates, so I figured we check in on that real quick.
Let's do it.
So real quick, last time we stopped in, Adam Ellis is a writer. I forget what he writes for. It might have been BuzzFeed or something like that. Whatever.
Okay.
He claims that his apartment was haunted. It was a pretty creepy story. Like it was pretty wild. So if anybody was listening to the last one, here are some of the updates. Okay. Because he went on vacation last time we were there, last time we talked about this. Mm-hmm. So he posted, hold on. Yeah. Okay, for everyone asking, yes, I'm alive. I'm just not home much during this week. I promise you I'll keep you updated should anything happen soon. I've been leaving the nanny cam on 24/7. It records every time there's movement or sound, as you know. I was going over the feed from this weekend and noticed some weird stuff. During the night on Saturday while I slept, it recorded the cats in the living room. It seemed pretty unremarkable at first. But then after a few moments, Maxwell, his cat, so Berlo, I think you got a better view now, freaks out and jumps over something invisible. So here's the living room again.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Berlo, I want you to keep an eye on both the cat and the green jar. Okay, so there's two cats in the living room. Okay, so
two cats, one cup. All right.
Okay, so the cat hopped like it was like hopping over like a, like a string or something, right? Like a fly. But then the jar moves. The green jar moves. Let's look at that again.
Let's go to the instant replay.
Mm-hmm.
Scott, I'm going to circle the jar here.
You're going to telestrate it?
Yep.
Now, okay, so the cat moves, and then this green jar slides across the table. I don't even think the guy noticed it unless this is like his. Like I said, this could all be an elaborate thing to just get hits and stuff like that, and he's figuring stuff out. He said, I don't think it was a bug or anything. Maxwell doesn't react like that with bugs. He just eats them. Something spooked him. What's more, I almost never get bugs. I've seen maybe three in all the years I've lived here. Anyway, the next night, the camera recorded a couple more strange videos.
I like he knows how many bugs have been in his apartment in his entire lifetime.
Yeah. Is this the video? No, this is a still. Specifically, he recorded Maxwell, which is the cat doing this on and off for hours. He'd sit up on his hind legs and peer around the room as if looking for something or looking at something. This is odd behavior for him, and I can't come up with an explanation for it, especially because of this next video. All right, so, Berlo, here's the next video.
All right.
All right, so the cat is on the couch. Mm-hmm. Okay, and now the cat is standing up on his hind legs. Like, standing.
Very awkwardly, too.
Awkwardly, kind of like he's reaching for something almost. Yeah, and he's swatting in the middle of the night. Like,
and there's nothing in the room that we can see.
Now, I'm thinking if he's just setting this up, because I'm pretty skeptical of all these kind of things. Like, it's a pretty low-resolution camera, obviously. It's like, like if he's holding something out of frame and the cat's like going up for it or something like that, like maybe that's how he's getting this reaction. But altogether, it's a pretty weird reaction.
Yeah.
The cat's swatting at the air. And cats are weird to begin with, so it might be nothing. But he says, I suppose there's a chance it was a fly. He said that it can't shake the feeling that something has made its way into the apartment. It's odd behavior from Maxwell. In any event, things feel off this week, and I can't explain it. And that's where we are, Berlo.
Well, it's good advertising for the movie It.
Yeah,
that's the way to look at it.
You saw it, right?
Yeah.
Did you like it?
Very good. Creepy as hell.
They
did a good job on that, yeah.
That's good.
They did. They kept with the source, and they actually did better with the source, because basically they took the source, which is the book, instead of the TV series, and... Really creepy. The guy who plays the clown Pennywise does a creepy ass job.
Now, your girlfriend happened to text us that he sounds just like the voice that you
Hello, Daddy.
Used to
I'm Pennywise.
To make my dog's voice.
You sure do.
Which was funny because she was focused on the fact that I can't look at Obi ever again. And I'm sitting there focused on the fact that your boyfriend makes the voice for my dog. It's not him, actually. It's not actually the dog.
Well, here's the way I look at it. When it started, and you were kind of like throwing it in my face, and, oh, Burla, that's weird. You're doing a dog voice. I kind of noticed more and more people in your life are now doing an Obie voice.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and nonstop.
What? That, no, we just had one.
Yeah. Like, me and Alex don't really talk at all besides in dog voice. Like, there's not.
Like, Obie's the medium.
Yeah.
So if you go, hello, honestly, Alex,
if you removed
Happy Valentine's
Obie
Day.
Voice from the equation, we don't really have shit, shit to talk about.
All you do is Apple pick and wait for the dog.
We just look at each
other
and she accuses me of like drinking her last pumpkin beer. Like, that's basically
Scott, it's September. Where are we going to find another pumpkin beer?
You know what, though? I just got a bunch of crap for grabbing one of her pumpkin beers. Every beer that's ever been in this house, 70 other than the ones you bring over, 70 to 90%, somewhere in that range, have been bought by me. And you know how many times you're like, this is tasty. Let me try that. You know what?
That's a good Alex.
Now we're going to see. When I bring back something amazing that I find at the store, or I go to a local brewery and I bring back something, I'm going to be like, this is fantastic. Suck it and drink your Shipyard.
See, you got to go hardcore and get one of those like those ports that are like $120 or something like that, where it's like, you know, it's rare. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, oh, this is good by myself and all. Love to share it, but you know, I bought it.
So this Shipyard, which Shipyard's a decent pumpkin beer. It's not even anywhere near the best. This Shipyard that is maybe like $11.99 a six-pack, she has now cut herself off from any of my beer from now on. For a while, until she learns the point that don't mess with Scott Brennan. You know, because now I'm going to come full force.
Yeah, I'm just worried that you're going to get Sam Adams pumpkin beer, and then she'll be like, oh, no, where am I going to get that?
Yeah, where can I ever find this Shipyard again? You know what? I might go drink one now. But you were talking about, like it. I might see it.
It's very... It's not overly gory in any way. It's just very creepy and with the scary stuff that they do and all. It works very well, and it made $117 million this weekend. So it's setting up the sequel.
Well, it's we know that feeling.
What's that?
We know that feeling, like per episode. That's generally what.
I mean, that's my commission I get every weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I was thinking about helping commuter cars. I don't know why I didn't speak up. I was doing my interview thing, trying to be, you know, professional, you know.
Speaking of creepy, my parents just celebrated their 40th anniversary.
That is creepy.
Yes, they made it.
They made you and they kept going? Wow.
I know. But yeah, I feel like you bond together after like a tragedy, you know. Like,
hurricanes, flooding, Scott Brennan. Yeah. Yep. All the same. Exactly.
So they stayed at this bed and breakfast. Now, I'm half and half on bed and breakfast. I think sometimes they can seem a little creepy. I haven't really stayed at many at all. I don't even know if I stayed at one. But they did this like winery, like bed and breakfast, like kind of thing down in down by where you're from, by down in New Egypt.
Oh, okay.
Right down there, Laredo Winery or something.
Oh, that's literally 5 minutes away from my sister's.
Yeah, so they go to this bed and breakfast. They said the winery was great, and they go to the bed and breakfast part of it, and there's no one else there, not one other couple. Now,
interesting.
Now, you don't want, like, you never want too many people, but you also want to know that, like, people are in the place that you're staying. Like, there's a reason you're going there, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And they said that there was no workers. They just said, please lock up when you leave.
What?
Yeah. Like, if you're going to go out, just lock the door to the bed and breakfast. So the first question that came to mind was, who cooked breakfast? You know, that's part of the... And apparently, like, it was an old man, like...
Dear David!
So, apparently, the woman, like, had a medical emergency with her family. So, she called her husband to, like, come serve breakfast.
Uh-huh.
And, like, it was pretty bad. Like, burnt waffles. And, like, the crumb cake was, like, really, really hard. And they actually had to send it back. Now, when there's only two of you and you have to send food back, that's really bad.
Yeah, it's hard to hide that in there.
And my mom's like... I'm like,
I'm like, how was your anniversary? And she's like, it was good. Like, I'm like, you sound tired. Like, you know, you lived a life. You got off of work today. It's like, honestly, I didn't really sleep very well. It's pretty creepy. She's like, well, she's like, you know, I'm in this house with like, you know, 10, 15 rooms or whatever it was. And there's just no one there. And she's like, there's a creepy angel doll. And like, I couldn't sleep because it was like on the wall, like kind of like looking at me. I'm like, this sounds like the greatest anniversary ever. I was just wondering where you stand on like the bed and breakfast kind of thing. I don't know.
I've never been to one. I mean, it's always something that in your head it sounds good.
Right.
But I mean, just on that description alone, I mean, it clearly sounds like it's literally somebody's home that serves breakfast.
Yeah. I almost felt bad, but I was also like, well, you know, happy 40th, you know, but, yeah, I don't know. Like, where's the worst place you ever stayed? I told you mine. Mine was, the Tally Ho in Ohio. In fact, why don't you do that? Yeah. Mine was the Tally Ho. It was $39.99 a night. Mm-hmm. I think I told you this. We were trying to drive to, Notre Dame, and we were like, we'll make it through the night, and we're all beat by like 4 in the morning, like couldn't do it anymore, and we're like, oh, $39.99 in the middle of like Ohio Drive, which is completely boring.
Yep.
And we went into the Tally Ho.
What was our numbers in Ohio again?
I can't remember if Ohio likes us. Yeah. I'll check in a minute. But they...
they love your hotels.
We love your Tally Ho's. We get in there... and there's 4 of us, so it's $10 a person to sleep mm-hmm. for. We'll sleep for 3-4 hours and get up and go. And and like my one friend wouldn't sleep on the bed. Like he just saw the bed and he was like, ugh. Like he like set up a bed on the ground with his clothes, which I don't know was a better move because the ground was
that yeah. gives you more access to things on the ground.
Yeah, one area of the hotel was damp, like one of our room was damp, and then there was definitely like some kind of like dark stains on like the top comforter, like mm-hmm. the comforter. So like whether it was blood or I don't know, it was disgusting. I mean, I jumped right in and went to sleep, but the other two guys. Yeah,
if I'm
anything.
Tired, I don't care. Yeah,
I'll sleep in the Tally Ho.
You know what's in that bed? Don't care. Tired.
Yeah, that was the worst. There was definitely like bums outside and like people scoring drugs and.
Yeah, I remember doing a hotel in. I'm guessing it's Virginia. It was Maryland or Virginia. I was doing the comedy thing. That was off the record. That was that great story about one of our friends going into the hospital. But
yes.
We go to the hotel, and I can tell we're in a good area because the room has like 4 locks for you to lock the door with.
Oh,
so right out the
like
back,
a dungeon
like,
key.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, like 3 things a twist, another. Lock key over here, another little chain here, stuff like that. I mean, kind of the same thing, kind of stained walls, the TV wasn't even working,
right.
The remote was working. And I'm like, all right, I got to take a shower. I go in the shower, and I see hair in the shower.
I hate hair. I hate hair. Like, me and Alex are the only people that live here. Mm-hmm. I see her hair, and somehow I'm like, you know, like, I hate hair.
Well, let me add to the story. Hair wasn't in the drain. Hair was hanging on the wall. It was like, and all I could think was some hooker got her head bashed in this room. But hey, I got 5 minutes tomorrow.
I gotta get clean somehow. Yeah. You know?
But yeah, that's about the one story I could think of like a really bad hotel. And also, the worst is those hotels that give you the continental breakfast where you can tell that egg was powder 5 minutes ago before they added water to it.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of how I feel about Dunkin' Donuts food pretty much. But, yeah, I get it, man. It's just creepy. I got 2 more things before we get out here.
Let me throw one thing out there.
You throw it.
Yeah. So I talked to my dad.
Congrats.
Thank you.
Glad you finally met him.
Yeah. So, my dad and my mom and my dad have a retirement home in Okeechobee, Florida, and they currently live in Sharpsburg, Georgia. Their overall goal is to sell the house in Georgia, live most of
now,
their time.
Are they anywhere close to where the hurricane's hitting?
That's where the story's going.
Okay.
But, they live in Chartsburg, Georgia. The overall plan is to sell that home, live most of the time in Florida, and come have like a little home up here in Jersey for the family and whatever. But like all the indications going into this weekend is like Okeechobee's going to get destroyed, just right. absolutely wiped out. And like I felt bad for my dad. Like we're having a discussion. He's like, you know, he literally put down the money 3-4 months ago. And now it's like, it can be easily destroyed.
Yeah.
And then add to it, if it gets destroyed, he would have to root for it for when to destroy it because he doesn't have flood insurance because they jack up the prices on it. It's so they are in this weird spot. So I got word from my dad that the hurricane came through and there was a lot of wind. And his house is good. The only thing that happened was apparently on like the lower level of the outside, the wind was going so bad, something literally shot through the wall and shot out the other side of the home.
Wow.
And luckily, nothing seems to be destroyed. Somebody's going to be going into his house tomorrow to kind of like assess what's in there. But I mean, he's looking at like, at right now, $100 worth of damage at best for the hurricane. My uncle also lives in the same campground, Okeechobee. He asked somebody to go there. Like, well, we can't get in. There's a shed. He's like, I don't have a shed. They're like, yeah, a shed blew in and is in on front of your front door, and we can't get into your home right now.
Jesus.
But the funniest thing about this, so if you were keeping track, so it goes all the way up, and it becomes a tropical storm up in Georgia. My dad said, you know, there were some pretty decent winds. A neighbor had a 45-foot tree that came down with the winds there. He said, we lost power, and I can't get the generator up because he would have to pull it out, put it up to the porch, can't leave it in the garage. So he's like, all right, all the food in the fridge are going to get spoiled. I'm like, you realize you're going to lose more money from that tropical storm with your refrigerator than a hurricane hitting your retirement home?
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Those when you're in those like hurricane areas, like I feel like it's such luck of the draw. Like you see some people who are just devastated and then like people next door who are like okay. Like it's just weird how it like kind of happens, you know?
Yeah, it's weird. Like, my uncle has an ex that lives in the KOA, and she was up in Jersey for a few days. He was keeping track of her dog, and he had to bring the dog up to Georgia because he didn't hear from her. He's like, all right, she's going to stay up in Jersey, you know, let the hurricane happen, then come down. She came back the day before the hurricane to sit in her home.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's that kind of stuff. It's like, I don't want to root for you to be hurt, but at the same time, it's like, you kind of deserve it.
So dumb. Well, I actually had that written down. Like, I heard these like, you know, awful stories. Guy at work, his like family, they all packed up and they all like had a bunch of kids and they just took a box per person of like stuff that meant stuff to them or not. So it got me curious, like if you were in that situation and you had to pack up your life into a box, what would be some of the things that you would definitely take with you?
Well, I lost my glass head to you on my 40th birthday.
That's gone, so, bro. Yeah, it's gone, buddy.
Can't bring that.
You know what though? It went out in the best way it possibly could ever go out.
It would have went out the same way if it wasn't a hurricane. So.
Me smashing it with a hammer?
Yeah, I can see that happening. Yeah.
Power's out. Got to entertain ourselves.
God, what are you doing in here?
Those of you who don't know what we're talking about, I threw Burlo a 40th birthday surprise game show.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things at the end was smashing this glass head he had, which was, I don't know, you can go back and learn why he had the glass head.
It was nice. It was full of beads at the time.
It was never nice. And he had to try to maintain keeping a girlfriend, so we did him a favor.
Yeah. What would I bring with me? I'm trying to...
Not like the full box, but what were some of the things that like you would you got to leave in the next 24 hours, and what are you putting into a box?
I'm trying to think. I mean, we go past the obvious stuff like clothes and stuff. I'm trying to think of what like really would be sentimental.
Yeah, I'm like eliminating clothes. Like maybe you put them in a backpack on your back, but you have this box of valuables. Like what in the world would you take?
There's really nothing where I'm sitting back like
my Macho Man figure.
No, I gave that to Kevin.
Yeah, that's true.
Garifo.
My Redskins helmet. My Dukes of Hazzard full set.
I brought the DVDs. I forgot to bring the player.
No! Leave the dog. Grab the DVDs.
We'll meet Kelly at the next barbecue. Don't worry.
Yeah, I was trying to think of this myself. And as far as items, I'd probably bring like these computers, like at least the hard drives and stuff, because I have a lot of pictures just of over the years that have backed up, and I don't really want to lose those.
I mean, I guess there's some pictures. I mean, you can reprint them, but you probably want to bring them just based on the fact, okay, if I had to wait before I go back, I can stare at them and think of good times, maybe. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I don't have anything where I sit back and go, man, if I lose that, I'll be so heartbroken. I'm not that materialistic kind of guy.
I was thinking the same thing. Like, I don't think there's anything, like, obviously I would bring my dog and his stuff, maybe, and maybe my computer with the picture, like pictures and files on it and stuff like that. All our podcast, the anthology of...
We can't lose that, man. Come on now.
When we release the box set, what are we going to do?
We're going to release the box set and my Dukes of Hazzard DVD cover.
I mean, like... musical equipment can be replaced. Just mixers and microphones can be replaced. Like, I don't know. Like,
I mean, Izzy gave me like one, like a small little locket we got from the Baseball Hall of Fame. I'd probably bring that because it's sentimental to me, sentimental to her. Probably her pearls I gave her for her birthday. But there's like literally my materials. There's nothing. I mean, lack of a better term, that's worth enough where I'm like, well, I have to bring it.
Yeah. Like, I was just picturing, like, if I was running around this house, like I got to pack stuff, what would I pack? And I couldn't really come up with too much. I mean, my records. Yeah, right. I mean, I don't know. But, well, that was supposed to be a good conversation. Huh. I guess when we both go, I don't really care about anything. So last thing, I was hiking the other day. Hiking at Buttermilk Falls, and
who named that?
I don't know. Well, obviously, Reginald Buttermilk.
Oh, what was his story again?
Well, you know, he was a Confederate soldier that was hiding out in the northwest of New Jersey, and he saw this waterfall, you know, and he took a hostage and he stood under the waterfall for 3 days straight. And he said,
"So somebody from the north."
He was a Confederate soldier, and he was hiding out, and he took one of the northern soldiers. You know,
okay.
And he held.
What
him,
was his name again?
Johnny Hofbrau.
Johnny Hofbrau. Oh, yeah, of course.
Totally. There's stories written about him for
from
ages.
The Northampton.
Northampton. Grew up in York. Uh-huh. So he stood there for 3 days at gunpoint, and it was just kind of like
they were under the waterfall for 3 days.
Yep, like where the waterfall falls, like they were kind of right behind it, and they didn't want to shoot because they didn't want to kill Johnny, but they didn't kill. But eventually, he turned himself in, and then still got shot. So that is why it's called Buttermilk Falls.
Yeah, but why are we celebrating a Confederate?
We're not. It's just named after that.
What,
do you want to tear it down and name it something else?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Well.
I want to call it the Freedom Not Falling.
Freedom Falls. Yeah. So I'm hiking with Alex, and we go up the waterfalls. Oh, God damn it, Obi. We go up the waterfalls, and we're hiking for about 8 minutes. And Alex has to pee, so she goes and pees in a spot. And as she's peeing, all of a sudden I just get the...
In the stomach?
Yeah, the complete bubble guts. And like 7 to 30 seconds, like it had to go. Like it was either going in my pants or it was going somewhere else.
All right.
So she finishes up. I'm like, hurry up. And I go behind this hill or whatever. And I just blast it out right into the woods. And
please say you didn't do it into the falls. Look, mommy, we're swimming.
Yeah. And I, you know, I had no toilet paper, obviously, so I used my boxers and I leave them there. And I've realized I pooped in the woods a lot in my life before.
Yeah.
Have you done a lot of woods pooping?
I don't. Like, the one story I can tell you is when I was camping up in, like, North Pennsylvania with a bunch of friends. We went on a camping trip, and I had to go really bad, like, 6 in the morning. Like, yep. Kind of the same deal. I, like, woke up, kind of heard the gurgles, like, all right, I got to get this done. So at first, like, one of the girls, she had her car with the keys in it because the bathroom is, like, about a mile, maybe less than a half a mile down the road.
Right.
So I go to the car. There's no keys there.
Nothing.
I'm not waking somebody up to go, hey, I got really bad shit.
Nope.
Like, bro, wait.
I got one on board.
Yeah. So I didn't want to do it near anybody sleeping, obviously. So I start walking down. I'm like, all right, let's see if I can sort of hold on to it. Now, as I'm going about halfway, I'm like, oh, I remember we were hiking and we found a shortcut to get there. No, I'm going to take the shortcut. I forgot that the shortcut involved going through a river. So I'm walking. I only have like one pair of shoes and all. I'm like, if I get saturated, I'm going to have to walk around with wet shoes all day. So I take my shoes and socks off and I'm trying to walk on this river on rocks, holding in a pretty decent crap, trying to get through
yep.
to make it. And there were two or three times when they,
pooping in the river. Pooping in the river.
That was a song for Buttermilk Falls.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
But I don't know how I made it through. And
oh,
I
you
barely
go?
Got into that bathroom to let it out.
Yeah, I pooped everywhere. I'm the kind of guy, if I got to go, I'm going. I'm not sitting there uncomfortable all day. I'll poop in gas stations. I'll poop in porta potties. I don't care.
You do the toilet paper or the protector on it?
Nah.
No?
Not really. Sometimes I do it. Like, if it's really bad, then I'll do it. But in general, I'll just sit right on it.
All
right. Yeah.
Bare-assing. Good for you, man.
Yeah, I'm a Boy Scout. What do you want?
What kind of badge you get for that?
Apparently this is a thing, because all my life I remember my dad, like, oh, boy. Like, after you have a cup of coffee, be like, I'm percolating, and, like, duck walk down the hall. But apparently my grandfather was so bad that, like, apparently he would go anywhere, so much anywhere, that one time he was in Arlington Cemetery.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and had to go, and just, like, nature call, and he had to, like, go behind, like, some soldier's grave, and he was fertilizing the
don't worry, he's unnamed. Yep. Nobody cares.
So apparently this is, I hope he's doing something. Apparently this was a thing, and, like, I guess it's been passed down to
me. Generation to generation.
But I'll go, no problem. I don't really care.
One day you'll have a son, and you're like, boy, we're going to the bathroom. But, Daddy, we're in the middle of the woods. That's what I'm trying to show you there, Scott Jr.
My Uncle Ed says that, like, he works on, like, high towers and stuff like that. He's like, when we're up in buildings, he's like, if I had to go, like, I would have a 55-gallon, like, one of those big buckets.
Oh.
There's poop right in it. Well, I mean, I guess you
gotta go. I mean, it's not bad when you do it. It's at the end of the day where you got to go 1, 2, 3, not it.
Well, let's end with a poop story.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Oh, I thought that was a poop story. But
oh, well, you have a poop story.
Yeah, I got a poop story. So
there's nothing better than a good poop story.
Yeah. So a couple months back, if you remember, you brought up the story of a woman who was on a date with a gentleman, and she had to go take a poop, and it was so big that she was afraid it was going to get clogged. So what she did was she got a bunch of paper, basically grabbed it, put it in her purse, and, like, walked out with it in her purse. This one, the woman tried to sneak away with it, but it didn't really work out. Basically, she was on a Tinder date with a guy, and she had to go to the bathroom. And it was the same situation. She took a dump. It was a massive one. And basically she realized that it wasn't going to flush down. She had a panic in her eye. So what she tried to do was she grabbed the poo out of the toilet and throw it out the window.
Naturally.
Yeah. So she came out and kind of admitted it to the boyfriend that she had to do it, and she felt bad. So he's like, all right, we're going to try to see if we can, like, being a gentleman, he's like, well, we'll grab it and throw it in the trash so nobody steps on it or anything.
No, let's stop there. Mm-hmm. Let's stop right there. Let's pause. So, all right. So early on, like, you and Izzy are just starting dating. Maybe first, second date. She comes out and she says, Mike, I did a big poo.
Knowing her now, I'd probably go,
yeah. But this is not now.
Yeah.
Like, if Alex did it now, I'd be like, you're disgusting. And I'd go get the power washer or something.
Plus, we have that thing where we don't flush, if you recall.
So, what would you do, man?
I mean, I would probably try to be the gentleman, but at the back of my head, I'd be like, I'm not going to pick this up.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd...
I mean, I'd be like, she's a nurse. I'd be like, you're used to this.
Yep.
We found it. Pick it up.
I don't know if I could go for a second date after picking up a girl's poo on the first date.
Yeah.
Like, that is like relationship... Like, things happen.
She better give up at least third base on that second date to make that happen.
Right. Like, that is... How do you face each other the next day? Like, the awkwardness of a first date is horrific to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just thinking about a first date, like, ugh, like, gives me, like anxiety thinking about it. But someone's pooing in your window, like, and it's stuck in your window?
Well, that's the part we didn't get to, Scott.
Oh, okay, go
ahead. So they were going to search for it, and they couldn't find it. And what they found was he has basically a two-layered window where she tried to throw it out, it got stuck in the window. So, trying to be still comfortable with everything, they try to clean it out of the window. The girl tries to reach into the window set between the two window sills and grab it. The little problem was she got stuck.
Yep.
And they had to call the fire department to get her ass out.
Yeah, you know what, like... Although maybe this might be like these people might like grow old and in love with each other for the rest of their lives, and like this is a great story they could tell like all their kids and grandchildren for the rest for eternity. Like that story does not die three generations.
No.
That's like a 10-generation story.
How long were you stuck in the window? I was there for 3.5 hours, Sonny. And boy, did it stink.
Yeah, I mean, like think about the grandkids giggling as they're telling the story. I don't know. I think it's very hard to overcome that. Yep. But.
And there's a picture of her stuck in the window.
Yeah.
And it was put up there by the Avon Fire and Rescue Department. So
I wonder if Alex would date me if I pooed in her window. Alex, would you date me if I pooed in your window on the first date?
On my window?
Well, between the windows.
Yeah, the poo got stuck.
Yeah. It's very important. Get the details right.
Probably not. Okay.
No.
Well, all right. Well,
so in all, with everything they had to do, they had to replace a window. It cost $390. They started a GoFundMe. Smythe has already received more than $2,700 in donations for it.
Burlo crap in my window right now. $2,700. Get in there. Well, on that note, let's get the hell out of here. I think you have one of the same promotions I do.
Yeah, Tooth Grinder.
Tooth Grinder.
Check out their new single, The Shadow, on Spotify's playlist. Their new track is out, and they're going to release worldwide Phantom Armor.
Nope.
On November 10th. So they were great guests, Tooth Grinder. Love bringing up their name and all. I keep on thinking of Holy Diver when I say it.
Tooth Grinder.
Tooth Grinder.
Yeah, to add to that, to piggyback that, I was going to do the same thing. So my brother also works for their record label, so it's good for both of them. But just really cool guys. Apparently this new album is a lot different. It's supposedly a lot like spacier and a little bit more not as heavy.
Can't wait to hear it.
First single is very good. But I do want to promote one show before I go. This Friday I am on a all teachers lineup. It's Funny Teachers, it's called. I'm hosting, so it's me and like Pamela Ray and Alex Edrick, a couple people I know, but it's all teachers at Reds in Karlstadt. I did it 2 years ago, and it was
Dave Durkin show.
Yeah, it's Dave Durkin show. It's one of the best shows I ever did, just because my material happened to be like, you know, that's like an audience that wanted it. So hopefully it goes the same way. But it's like $5, I think, like that. It's Friday night at Reds in Karlstadt. So I did want to promote that. Come on out and hang out. We'll have a drink afterwards. It's a really cool room, too. With that, let's get out of here. Just a couple things on the podcast. We do have shirts available, nice blue shirts.
I'm wearing one.
Michael's wearing one right now. We're just charging $15 for those, basically just to cover the cost. And just follow us on Instagram and Twitter. Instagram, I'm doing like a little – this week, this month is 20 athletes in – 20 days of athletes, I'm calling it. So we're on day
four.
By the time this comes out, it's going to be day six. Okay, so just doing 20 athletes we've had on the podcast before. First day was Jim Poplinski, Kirby Chambliss, Ben Brown, and catcher Corbett. So I don't know, just a way to like change things up. So go follow us there. Okay. But other than that, life is funny, people. Laugh at it. Keep subscribing. Keep listening. Adios. It's
keep
been fun.
Keep the wind at your back and your poop in the windows.
Keep the wind at your back and the poop in your crack.
Oh, fist bump.
Boom! We out.